I want to read, first of all, tonight from Genesis 1. I'm reading from verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, from here on, I'm just going to read a portion of a verse, just to highlight what I'm thinking about. Verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Down to 15. And let it be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the sea, and let the fowl multiply the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind. And so on. Now let's look over, please, to the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Let me read that once more. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now let's go back to the Gospels, chapter 4 of John. John's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And listen to this. I doubt very much there's anybody in the meeting that I could do what that man did. The man believed the word of Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And himself believed in his whole house. Turn over the page to the fifth chapter. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And I want to read that again. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, or if you want, amen, amen, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What I want to try to get across tonight, simply for a few minutes at the beginning of the meeting, is the importance of what God says. Because really, that's the only way that anyone can know they're saved. They can't know by their feelings. At least I can't. Sometimes I get up in the morning, I feel like singing. Other times I feel like whistling. And sometimes as grumpy as a bear. And don't tell me you're any different. No, I can't go by feelings. I can't go by religion either. In God's name, what religion would you work with? We're not trying to get people to join the gospel hall here. That's not our bent. Boy, if that was all it was, I'd take home tomorrow. What we want to try to get across to mankind and people in this meeting simply is this. It's so important what God says. Because I say again, it's the only way a person can be sure that they're never going to be in hell and that they're going to be in heaven forever. When we were reading in Genesis chapter 1, I was trying to highlight it in this way, and God said, let there be light. And as soon as he said it, there was light. And God said, let the firmament be divided from the firmament, and so on. And it was so. Right down to the chapter, one thing after another, what God said, it took place. So what I'm trying to get from that simply is this. If you're ever going to know your sins forgiven, you've got to take God's word for it. Implicitly. You can't just believe some of it and then say some of it's all right, but I'm not going to believe it all. Like my brother-in-law over in England. Do you believe everything in the Bible? Yes, sir, I do. He says, you really believe that the whale swallowed Jonah? I said, certainly do. He says, a whale couldn't swallow a man. Of course, he doesn't know because I've heard tell of it happening before. However, he says, how could a person live for 3 days and 3 nights in a whale's belly? Because I said, God planned it so, and God renovated that animal. Because it says God prepared a fish. And God knew the dimensions of Jonah. And he made that fish just for Jonah. So God does. And when what God says comes true, I want you to get a hold of this. I'm laboring and I know, but if you could just get a hold of this tonight and be able to depend on one promise from God. Heard Doug Howard say so often. He says, could you go out into an eternity that will never end, facing heaven or hell, hanging your soul on one promise from God? Could you do it? That's all I've got. And if that promise fails, I'll be in the lake of fire, for it's all I deserve. But I know I won't be in the lake of fire. Why not? Because I'm depending on the word of God. Over and over and over and over again, down to chapter 1, and God said, and God said, and God said, and it was just as he said it, not greater, not less. Does away with his big bang story. You know, I was saying to Albert the other day, it's no wonder we got to keep pounding away at the same old thing night after night. Man's ruin, God's remedy, because down there in the center of Vancouver, thousands of people are looking at a thing and seeing the great big bang. He starts off with his ball in his hand, and he says, there's the universe before the bang. have people who believe such stuff. I don't know. But you see, the children are getting indoctrinated with that kind of stuff. So that when they come to the Bible, they say, well, is it really right? And if they get that in their mind, is it really true what God says? They can't get saved. It's an impossibility. Because he said here in John 5:24, he that heareth my words, said the Lord Jesus, believeth him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is, maybe someday, maybe he will be, or he could be. No, he says, is passed from death unto life. Is it the word of God or is it not? So what I want to say, keep on at this tonight. I don't know what Albert's going to say, but I want to keep on at this. It's so important to get a hold of what God says. You know, some people never have any doubts, those that are saved. My father never had a doubt from the moment he got saved, did he? Well, I shouldn't say that, but for many years he didn't have a doubt in the world. Albert Ramsey never had a doubt about his salvation. I was plumb fallen. I don't mind telling you, I've gone around the foundation a good many times. Of course, it was some time after I said something I shouldn't say, or I did something I shouldn't have done, and I said to myself, yes, I can't be saved, because a Christian wouldn't do that, and a Christian shouldn't do that either. But I had to recognize the fact that what God tells me is true. No matter about me. And you know what helped me? Because 3 weeks, I'm getting on it again. 3 weeks after I got saved, one day at school, I just to save my own neck, because we went through a lot of persecution in those early days, because my father was a preacher of the gospel. And in order to get rid of a little bit of persecution, and I told a lie. And right away, you're not saved. Where did that come from? I didn't come from the Holy Spirit. I came from the devil. Because that's not what God says. I went on that way for quite a while thinking, I guess I haven't got anything. You see, friend, God's salvation is by faith. If I was to give you stuff, some of you people that came there tonight, you would know when you got it, you know what you got. And you could say, well, so-and-so gave it to me. You know what I'm saying? Something tangible.
God's salvation is not tangible.
It's not something he hands to you and you take it by. No, it's by faith. And he doesn't want anybody that won't trust him. So he makes it by faith. And the person that's trusting Christ and the person that's going to heaven is just by faith, taking what he has said. And asking no questions. Where was that? Yeah. Then I got thinking, well, how am I going to get this test? Because I was going back and wondering, did I believe it enough? Did I have enough faith? Some of you people don't know anything about this. I know you don't. I tell you, I went through it. And one preacher got up one time and he told us about the state and the standing. And as he began to explain it, the state of standing. And I thought, now what in the world's this? Because all I knew was salvation and state of standing. And then he began to make it simple for a little boy. That your standing is always the same. What God says about salvation, as soon as you have it, that's the standing you're on. And God has planted you on the solid rock of the standing in Christ. But then your state changes from day to day. And I found out. Sometimes I feel like I'm saved, and other times I feel, oh well. You see, the state changes all the time, but the standing is all the same. And until I got that rooted into my mind as a little boy, I was wondering. Of course, I've wondered a good many times since. I don't mind telling you.
This thing is too important. It's heaven or hell. It's turn or burn. And my friend, it's only common sense for a person to go around the foundation. I know, some say, finish it, close the door, never think about it again. Well, if you can do that, that's great. I'm not made up that way. I'm a skeptic. But oh, when I come back to the Word of God, it's still the same. And that's why I appreciate what God says, because He can't change, and He has put me in Christ. Therefore, Romans 8 wonders, therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So I just say, thanks, Lord. No condemnation for me, huh? Because He's put me in Christ. And I say again, as I've said so many nights, He's not looking at me anyway. He's looking at His Son that died on the cross of Calvary. He's satisfied with what He did, not what I did. He's not satisfied with my faith or my believing. I've got so little of it. He's satisfied with the work of His Son, though. And what His Son did on the cross satisfied the claims of a holy, righteous, sin-hating God forever. Now He said, whosoever believeth in Him. So I'm looking to Him now. And God has saved me because of Him. Let's go to the next portion. 1 Peter 2:20. 1 Peter 1:18. Or is it 20? What is it? You can look it up in your book. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Religions will come and go. And people that are so steeped in their religion that they won't give it up and they won't get saved because of it. But the Word of God will live forever. Thank God. So we're born again, not of corruptible seed. You see, if some man came and told me that, you know, all about this, I wouldn't know if I could believe him or not, or if I could trust him. But when God tells me, the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever, we're born again by the Word of God. Let me use a whole illustration. Let's go back to Mount Moriah for a minute. Isaac's on the altar. The knife is upraised and he's just about to die. When all of a sudden there's a voice from heaven that says, Abraham, Abraham! And his hand is stayed. And Isaac doesn't die. What's Satan? What's Satan? I know we'll get to the Lamb yet, but what's Satan here? Just a split second between life and death. If that life comes down, he dies. What saved him? I suggest to you the Word of God. The voice of God. And you were saved that day by the Word of God. Why did God spare him? Why did God not allow the knife to come down? Because of the ram caught in his thickets by his horns. And because there was a substitute ready for him, God could say, Abraham did. Years ago, God said, he's only a worthless little lad of 9 years, and he deserves nothing but eternal fire. And he's living away down the backwoods of Nova Scotia with a believing wishes and so on. Why could God say, he's looking at his Son that died for me. He's not taken to heaven the strength of what he has done.
He's only written that. What can he do?
Can't do nothing. And although I tried for 2 or 3 years, I tried my best to believe. And I, one preacher over in Ireland, every night he would say, believe, believe, believe. And he walked, believe, believe, believe. So I tried to believe.
Now, I don't want you to go away and say that I said that you don't have to believe in order to get lost salvation. I didn't say that, nor I don't say it. But I'm going to tell you something more. The person that believes God is wounded in heaven. And the person that doesn't believe God is wounded in hell. Simple as that. So we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible.
God,
which liveth and abideth forever. Now let's come to the last illustration for a moment.
What's that?
The nobleman comes to the Lord Jesus. He says, my son's dying. Come and heal. The Lord Jesus said, well, you know, unless people see signs and wonders, they won't believe. His answer to that was, my son is dying. Come. In other words, the Lord Jesus was trying to find out if he would believe his message or if he had to have some sign or other. That's what people today. And you know something? I used to think, when I sat way back in that big rock in the back pasture after we moved the cows, and I sit there and look up, and I think to myself, God could write my name in the sky. He could. Was it different there? It wouldn't take very much for him to arrange the. But you see, after I got saved, I began thinking, it's a good thing that didn't happen.
Of course, that is childish mind, you know. Great people wouldn't think this way.
But in my childish mind, I thought, it's a good thing he didn't put it up there. For if I don't believe it, something like that. I got an uncle in Ireland, the very same name. And when I was over there, I called him so. I said, I was preaching about you in Nova Scotia. Oh, he said, what are you saying? Well, I said, I used to think that God put my name up in the sky, I would know I was saved. And then he said, I said, began to realize, you have the same name. I would never know. Does he mean me or does he mean him? But when he says, whosoever, he means the both of us.
And the both of us are in on it. The word of
God. So what does the nobleman do? Something I don't suppose anybody can do.
The Lord Jesus said to him, go, that's not this.
You might. And what would you do? Well, maybe you wouldn't even love me, but I'd be hanging on to his coat and say, but come along, he'll soon die. And he told him he's going to live. He just put him in his word and went his way. And the next day, when they told him, your son's alive, he said, he said, when did that happen?
About a certain time of the day.
And so that's just what he told him.
That's the due time that the word of God comes home to a person's soul. Christ died for the authority.
And so what I'm saying is, the nobleman, all he did was just take God at his word. He believed the message of the Lord Jesus. He knew his son was living. I say again, if that was me, a day's journey away from home, and he told me that, I would be saying, and I'd be worried. How would you take it?
Now I'm going to ask you one more question. How do you take this? John 5:24. He that heareth my word, says the Lord Jesus. Verily, verily, I say, what he said. Amen, amen. Truly, truly.
As if he would have to say truly, truly. He can't lie. But he wants to make it so emphatically clear that nobody can make a mistake about it. And what he say? He that heareth my word, believeth him that sent me, hath.
Does that mean sometime might happen? Or does that mean past possession?
Everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is.
Is that a coming day, or is that now?
Is past, from death,
out of life. Mr. Brandon was over in Newfoundland one time many years ago. And it was the day of the telegram, and the woman at the telegraph office, she called up and asked for Mr. Brent to get on the telephone. She says, there's a message here for you, but she says, I think it's backwards. Well, he says, what does it say? So what she says, it says, pass from death unto life, marker.
What is this? My dear Mo, that's not backwards. That's the best news you ever had. He said, what do you mean? Well, Margaret is my daughter, and she's just telling me that she got saved. She's passed from death unto life.
It's the best news I could ever have. I hope there's somebody to meet tonight that's willing just to take off his word. Listen, if you're willing to take off just with his word in me, I can tell you. Jesus, I know. Oh, I know they'll say you can't say that. Oh, I'm going to say it. I don't care what the theologians say. The Bible tells you. He died for the sins of the whole world. And if you're willing just to take him what God says, he says, everlasting.